Hallelujah, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What God desired in the beginning is now complete. He created Adam in his image and in his likeness to fill the earth and to subdue it, to rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and to over every living creature that moves on the ground. With his wife as his helper, Adam was to bring God's will to earth, so that man might flourish, so that creation might flourish, so that man might have joy in the goodness of God. But Adam took what was not given, and instead of bringing the will of God to earth, he brought the curse and death. And so Jesus Christ came. He is not made in the image of God, but he is the very image and likeness of God. Two natures united in one person, true God and true man. His holy life and perfect death destroyed Adam's curse, destroyed death, and made full and complete atonement for all sin. Today he ascends into heaven to achieve man's created purpose. So today is not an afterthought in the Christian liturgy or the Christian church year, but today is the culmination of man's creation. And today is the joyful result of his passion. The man is placed at the head of all creation. Without his death, he cannot have this. Without his ascension, he cannot achieve man's created purpose. His divine nature cannot be exalted. There is nothing higher than God. There is no idea, virtue, or gift that is above him. So the divine nature cannot be exalted, but the human nature can. We define the exaltation of Christ as the time when he begins to make full use of his divine power through his human nature. Now, it is always true that even in his humiliation that he possessed these full attributes of God, or else he would not have been God. Even when he was in the womb of Mary, he still had them, though he did not make full use of them. But only after his burial does he begin to make use of them. And as he begins to make use of them, he doesn't start at the very end, but he has stages that he goes through in his exaltation. Think of after his resurrection. He appears with his human body to the disciples in a room that is locked. He disappears from the Emmaus disciples. And so Christ, with his human flesh, comes and goes as he pleases. He needs no food, he needs no drink, he needs no sleep, he needs no rest. He has a glorified body, a body that is superior to what God gave Adam, and yet still a human body. Then came, well, for that time after his resurrection, he was present in only one place at one time. He was local or circumscribed. Take note that his divinity is still working through his humanity. He is not separated. His next step is the ascension itself, that Christ is lifted up. His feet left the ground. A cloud hid him, and heaven received him as the glorious king and conqueror of all sin, death, and all evil. And now his last and most exalted, highest state is sitting at the right hand of God. His presence is no longer local or circumscribed. He is not in one place at one time, but he fills the heavens and the earth. God told Adam to fill the earth. Adam would have accomplished this with the help of his wife, by having children, so that mankind might fill the earth. But Christ fills the earth with his human nature, fulfilling the promise that God, fulfilling the command of God by himself. He fills the earth with his divinity and his humanity. For the divine and the human are never separated. The divine is not lowered, but the humanity is exalted. At conception, he received these gifts as an attribute. He received these attributes as a gift. His miracles highlighted his omnipotence, his great power. His earthly miracles also highlighted his omniscience, that he knows all things, as he would respond to the thoughts of his enemies. But we don't see in his miracles his omnipresence. After his ascension, after his resurrection, we begin to see his omnipresence as he comes and goes as he pleases. But it's only after his ascension that he fully manifests his omnipresence. His ascension leads to sitting at the right hand of God. Now, the right hand of God, as I said, is not a physical location, or really any location. Neither is the right hand of God the act of ruling. But the right hand of God is the state of glory that he possesses. What he does at God's right hand is to rule. He does what Adam was created to do, only he does it perfectly, fully, and completely by himself, more than Adam ever could. He subdues the earth with his humanity. So his human hands hold the cosmos together. His human voice commands the wind and the waves, the fish, the birds, and every living creature on the ground. His human touch gives life. So it is sinful to think of the Son of God only as God, for we cannot separate the person of Jesus Christ. He is forever God and man, the exalted man who fills man's created purpose, for he has earned this by his life, death, and resurrection. But as he lived not for himself, but for you, so also he rules not for himself, but for you. He fills the earth with his humanity, and he subdues it, yes, through his great power, but with the purpose of sending forth his Holy Spirit. As Scripture says, when you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. So at his ascension, he instructed his apostles to wait for him in Jerusalem until he would pour out the Holy Spirit on them, and only then would they begin to preach the gospel. And then they went into all the world, filling that world with the gospel, as the Holy Spirit worked through their words to create faith, or as it says, to renew the face of the ground, man made of dust, renewed back into the image and likeness of God. Through the word, the Spirit drew men out of the sin of Adam and into the rule of Christ. For what God desired in the beginning is now complete in Christ. Christ fills the earth. Christ subdues it by his preaching. So we who live 2,000 years later can see the benefits and the history of the church as the gospel has gone out into all the world, breaking the power of Satan, setting men free from captivity, destroying death, and giving life. The will of God was that man might flourish, that man would have joy in the goodness of God. And in Christ, he has just that. In Christ, we flourish. Yes, we flourish. Washed in his blood, we bear his image and likeness. What he is, so are we. And what he does, so we also do. We are new. We are freed from the curse of Adam to be what God created us to be. We fill the earth. We subdue it. That is, we, his church, we, his Christians, fill the earth and subdue it because we also reign with Christ. We are men made in the image of the exalted man. So we are courageous, bold, self-controlled, self-sacrificing, and strong. In him, we achieve our created purpose. How? Through his word. Through his word that we speak, but through his word that we live. as we carry out our vocations faithfully, the will of God is brought to those around us. Creation flourishes, and we see and we find joy in the goodness of our God. As his glory is unseen, so also our glory is hidden. It is embedded in the Word of God. We don't look like rulers on this earth. We don't look like the movers and shakers of this world. And yet through our word, demons are put to flight. The gospel is preached in new tongues, new languages. The ancient serpent cannot harm us, and many are healed. These signs were visible miracles in the early part of the church. But after the New Testament had been written down, they quickly disappeared. But they have not ceased. They continue through the word of the New Testament. For tell me, what can harm you? What demon can harass you? What ancient serpent? What serpent can kill you? Death cannot hold you. Sin, pain, and affliction cannot bog you down forever. For in Christ you are more than conquerors. What are you more than? Conquerors, which means that you are rulers. For you do not just conquer, but you rule with Christ and enjoy the glory that is his. For in Christ you too have achieved your created purpose. And when he returns in glory, then his glory will be visible to your eyes. His return is not a step up in his exaltation. He does not get any higher than sitting at the right hand of God. But his return is simply manifesting that the Son of Man sits at God's right hand to the whole world. All will confess him to be God and Lord. All will bend the knee before him. But sadly, not all will be saved. Only those who believed and were baptized will be saved. His glory will be seen by us, and his glory will be seen in us. As we see our sinful nature removed, and we see that God has created us in his image, and we are all that God created us to be, enjoying the goodness of his creation with Christ, the true man, as our head, ruler, and master forever. May God grant us this blessed goal. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.